Thank you, Tom. Amazing job. Thank you, everybody, for joining in today and for telling us this amazing story. It's important for us to know, to be reminded of it, to experience it again, and to experience why it matters as well. So if you got an envelope, could you just take your number one envelope out now? That would be really good. And I want you to open your number one envelope, okay? Now is the time to open it. Oh, there's some envelopes left if you haven't got one. Okay, so please, now is the time to respond to what it says on your card. You can respond now. There are some free-from chocolates. Please don't take a free-from chocolate unless you need to, but there are free-from chocolates there for those of you who need a free-from. I've never seen such a ready response to an invitation as I've had seen today. As the book of Revelation says, come and take the free gift of chocolate and a free-from alternative if you need it. And I hope all of you are bringing your invitation to prove that you have been invited. Well done. I see somebody has opened number two envelope already, Alyssa. Do not open number two yet, please. Just number one. Right. Now, those of you who were not invited, tell the person next to you how you felt about it. So I'm just guessing that some of you who weren't invited are feeling now, I'm glad I wasn't invited. I don't like chocolate anyway, so you're all right. Some of you are thinking, oh, I'm very glad I wasn't invited because I can't be bothered to walk to the front anyway today. Some of you are saying, I'm glad I wasn't invited because I would much rather someone else got invited instead of me. And even if I had been invited, I would have given my chocolate away to somebody who hadn't been invited anyway, so it doesn't matter. But some of you are feeling, I missed out and it's not fair. I didn't get a chocolate today. Oh, I am very sorry for you today. The Christmas story is all about invitation. In many ways, it's about unlikely invitations. And as we've been demonstrated to visually today, it's clear that there were some unusual invitations being made during the Christmas story. Mary, a teenage girl, was going to be shunned by society because of the condition that she found herself in. Perhaps not important enough to be invited to anything. Perhaps maybe even rejected by a family because what they could begin to see was happening. But a God-sent angel came to her and invited her to be involved, very significantly, in God's unexpected rescue plan for the whole world. Joseph, a young man with a trade, with a future, his whole life ahead of him, all planned out, pledged to be married to Mary, looking forward to the wonderful day. He met an angel of the Lord who invited him not to divorce Mary for what had happened, but to marry her, to change his own plans and accept God's plans, inviting him to put aside all that culture would have told him to do in that moment, all that religion would have told him to do in that moment, to put it all aside and take Mary as his wife. To the Magi, set off on what may have been a 900-mile journey all the way probably from Babylon, which would be modern-day Baghdad in Iraq, invited to lift up their heads and look at the stars and look how they shone for them. Invited simply to just come and follow the star and see what was at the end of it, the one who was to be born King of the Jews. They hadn't felt invited, particularly because their religion had decided that they were probably not the right people to go to a stable. They weren't the right people to go and worship the King of the Jews. They probably weren't the right race or had the right background, didn't speak the right language. They didn't know perhaps who God was, the God of Israel. And yet, here they were, invited to take part in the story that was being written. And then to the shepherds. keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds with a low social status, low standing in community, looked at with suspicion. Every time people would see them in the marketplace, the shepherds would have suspicion heaped upon them. Counted among the sinners by the religious elite. No place in society, excluded from the temple. They couldn't even go and worship at the temple. They were not invited to participate in their own community, but God sees them differently, and he invited them. And here are some things that he invited them to experience. He invited them to experience God's glory. The Bible tells us an angel of the Lord appeared to them and God's glory came to them. God's glory is the weight of his presence. The whole weight of God's presence, not in a temple, but in a field, in their place of work. That's where God came to them. Their place of work became a place of worship because God was there. It doesn't mean that God isn't going to show up in a temple or a church. Of course he will, but his glory is not restricted by rules and rituals and religion. He comes, an angel of the Lord, and the glory shone upon them. And you're invited in this Christmas story to experience God's glory wherever you are. They were invited to respond to God's trust in them as well. Luke 2:10 says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. This is personal. This is God's trust to say, I'm going to give you this story. This is for you, and I want you to experience it before other people do. A shepherd trusted with a message for everyone else. God's invitations are very unlikely, but he chooses to make them to people like these shepherds. This is the most important message the world would ever, ever hear, and God entrusts it to a group of shepherds. And God entrusts you with this message as well. Unlikely people. In all the places he wants to take you, he gives you this message and he wants you to share it. They were invited to follow God's guidance as well, which isn't always easy. Today, Luke 2 says, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. Look for a sign, Jesus said. I want you to see this sign that I put before you, a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger in the most humble place where you wouldn't expect to find a king. Not a temple, not a palace, but the shepherds knew that because he was in a stable, they were welcome because they were used to stables. They were used to animals. They were used to places where there was just hay on the ground. No wonder God chose them, because they knew that they would be welcome in an animal shelter that day. And this is the great thing about God. He invites all of us to be in the places he wants us to be in. Familiar places, places where we feel at ease. He doesn't always send us to places where we're going to worry about what they're going to say. He sent the shepherds to the right place where they were welcome, where they could experience this firsthand. And God does exactly the same to us. And he gives us signs to say, you're welcome. He'll guide you to those places, the people, the situations, whether it is in a palace or a stable, a desk, a bedside, a university lecture room, a shop, a school, a coffee shop, wherever it is, God will guide you to the places he wants you to be if you will trust him with all of that. But of course, the big message of Christmas is that God invites us. We're invited to accept his invitation. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. Let's go. Let's go together and see this. He's told us about it. And their eager response led to the transformation. They took the invitation and they accepted it and they went and saw Jesus in that place. And as they were running down that hill that day, hearts bursting, expectations rising, the excitement pumping through every muscle in their bodies, they knew in that moment that God had invited them and they had accepted what God had called them to do. See, God's invitation is personal. It's to each one of us, whoever we are, wherever we are, the most unlikely, feeling inadequate, and yet God entrusts us with the invitation to come and see him, to come and experience him. Luke 2:17 says, That instead of hiding in the shadows of the night on a hillside watching sheep, isolated from everybody else in the dark, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. They spread the word. They didn't just tell everybody how much Jesus weighed, or who he looked like, or how his mum was doing, although that's all very valuable information in moments like this. But they started speaking the good news that this baby boy was the long-awaited Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord, and that this, wrapped up in the baby, was God's unlikely invitation to the world that he loved so much. So open envelope two, will you? Open number two this morning. And this is the good news. This is the great news that Christmas is about. That you are invited to come and simply worship Jesus. God's unlikely invitation wrapped up in a baby. Emmanuel, God with us. And the invitation is to you to experience who he is and what he longs to do in your life as well. You're invited to experience God's glory. Respond to his trust in you and to follow his guidance. It may take you into familiar places on your front lines every day. It may surprise you in the ordinary moments when you encounter his presence in the most unlikely of places, but he wants to make himself known to you. If you'll allow God to interrupt you and challenge you and to use you to tell his story, the one about Jesus, you're invited as well to come and worship him.